should find an outline in your bulletin. The top should say, hardworking women from Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. We'll find all the verses there in your outline, as well as some commentary that I provided for you. Let's ask God to help us as we look to His Word this morning. God, our Father, thank You for giving us this Word. May we learn from it. May we be encouraged by it this morning. Thank You for giving us a mother, Father, that truly we could not have made it through life without our mothers. The sacrifice that they made on our behalf is really not able to be measured. What a gift You've given to us, and the mother that You gave to us, and we're just so thankful. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. I feel like every Mother's Day I say the same thing, but I guess I don't, but you guys probably can't remember last Mother's Day, so I'm good, you know. I'm good. I just feel like, again, today, I'm feeling the weight of what my own mother did for me, you know, and I certainly don't have time in a half an hour to tell you all those things. But just so blessed I was to have a mother who was very patient with me, and many times I was just a frustration. I was a little punk kid, you know. And that's how I would describe myself. That's not how my mom would describe me. But I just was. So I'm just so grateful. I came across a helpful, I guess it was an interview with a certain mother. His name is Margie Zacharias. She's the wife of Robbie Zacharias. And they asked her some questions I thought were pretty good. How did you grow your spiritual life as a mom when your children were young? Was there anything specific that helped you grow during this time? And she said, I would probably say that the most important thing in my growth as a young mother with young children was reading. I always loved to read. But during those exhausted and often isolating days with young children, when I sometimes felt I was in danger of losing my ability to participate in adult conversation, reading good books that stimulated my thinking and my understanding of the world and reality became even more important. However, I could literally lose myself in a good book and shut out the world. So I had to discipline myself with reading and ration myself at times. I thought that was so good. Then I asked her another question. What was the most unexpected thing about motherhood? And what was the most unexpected thing about being a grandmother. She answered it this way, I think I didn't realize until being a grandmother how important a grandparent's role could be in a child's life. I had only one set of grandparents, as my father's parents were both gone before I was born. I loved my mother's parents. Sometimes I felt sorry for my grandfather and have good memories of them. But my memories of them are because of who they were, not because of what I learned from them or because they had any impact on my life. Because of the needs of the ministry, we were not able to live close to our parents when our children were growing up. Just different things there. I mean, I'm sure some of that might hit home for some of you. But I hope you see that. I hope you see that the importance of being a mother, or maybe slash a grandmother, or maybe both. You know, some of you might find yourself as both. But as I said, I think last week, that it's a position that you don't retire from, right? Whatever you retired from as your occupation, you don't retire from being a mother or a grandmother. You know, it's just, it's a life, it's a position. I mean, it's your whole life. And I think that just adds to the challenge of it. You know, it doesn't make it incredibly easy. Certainly there are things that you may regret more than a few things as you think about being a mother, but wow, it's just so encouraging to me, though, that you don't have to get it all right. I'm speaking not as a mother, but as a father, okay? It's encouraging that you don't have to get it all right. You essentially just have to be there. And it's interesting, when Paul was writing at the end of the book of Romans, we tend to think of Paul and his companions. A lot of men were involved in his ministry. But do we remember that there was a ton of women involved in the ministry of Paul? And if we forget that, we just have to read Romans chapter 16, and it becomes very clear. And he begins here, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Centuria. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and give her any help she may need from you. For she has been a great help to me, to many people, including me. Here's one woman, and she was, the commentators believe that her responsibility was to deliver the letter that Paul wrote, the letter of Romans, to the church there. So he talks about her in a number of ways. She was a servant, he says. And that's a good place to start. If you think about the title of a hardworking woman, and especially mothers, you have to be. I don't think you can do it any other way. You have to be a servant of your children. This is something, just speaking again from my own experience, people can't prepare you for the moment that you're all of a sudden a parent. It is, no one can tell you any words. I don't even think you can read books that can adequately prepare you for that moment. Because it's not going to be the same for everyone. And I think you learn very quickly that you have to be now a servant to this child, these children, these grandchildren. Like, that's your job. Putting them before you is your job. And that can be tough. I mean, it was tough for me as a dad trying to do that. Okay, like, my needs come last, you know. I'm now a servant. And Phoebe, she's described as a servant of the church. Right? And that's like one of the best kind of servants. Like, she shows up at church, and that's a group of people, not a building, and she says, I'm here to serve. It's my job. It's my responsibility. I'm here to serve. If something needs done, I'm your woman. I can do that. And it made me think of the picnic that we just had last Sunday. I'm so glad the women were there and served. Because I was there early, as were the women, and they were getting the thing ready. Like, you know, there was nothing there in the room, and then things appeared. Tables and chairs and decorations and food, which I was grateful for. So, you know, somebody had to do all that, right? And it needed done. And the women we have here at the church, they're servants. They say, well, we can do that. And we will do that for all of us. And they put themselves intentionally in that role, and they say, this is who we are. We're here, sir. And Paul goes on, and he describes her as she's been a great help to many people. Again, that's kind of along the lines of a servant too. You know, you're a helper. A servant, helper, it's a very similar role. So he starts off with Phoebe, the servant of the church. He goes on to Priscilla and Aquila. Priscilla is the woman, Aquila is the husband. These two were tent makers alongside Paul. They were fellow workers in Jesus Christ, he calls them. In verse 4, he says, they risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets in their house. Now, this is great. They had a church. It's very straightforward. That met in their house. We think that's strange. But it's because, like, well, they didn't have church buildings, right? At that time, they had the synagogue, which is where the Jewish people would meet. But the Christians were meeting in houses. Usually, one of the members of the church maybe had a larger house and could accommodate more of the people. So they would all show up at his or her house, or this couple's house, and they would have church there. And there's really a movement in California right now that this is what they do. And it's Francis Chan. He says, we're just going to meet in people's houses. And that's what they do. And they have several houses now that they're meeting in a group of people. You know, based on the size of the house, are meeting in that house. And they're having church right there in the house. They have no building. Um, So this is another example of a hardworking woman here in Priscilla that Paul mentions. Greet also the church, or I read that already. Greet my dear friend Epaphroditus. He was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for all of you. This idea of hard work keeps appearing. This idea of servanthood. This idea of being a helper. I think that might be one of the best definitions of my own mother that I can think of. She fits all the categories, right? She's a servant. She's a helper. She's certainly a hard worker. You know, I tried to think, like, okay, how many loads of laundry did my mom do? I don't know. But at some point, I got old enough to do my own laundry, and I'm sure she was very thankful, you know? Right? And how many dishes, like, did she go through? How much time at the sink did she spend? Because we didn't have... Growing up, we didn't have a dishwasher. My mom was the dishwasher, right? How many meals did she make? And if you want to add on to that, she was a teacher for 30 plus years, right? So she's got that too. I have to say, my parents really... the example that I saw in them was, you work hard, right? And you can relate to that. Like, that's the only way you have food on your table. Like, you go and you work hard. And that's what life is about. And it's just day after day after day. But again, it makes me thankful. That was my mother. That was what she did. She was willing to put the time in, right? She was willing to make the sacrifice for me and my sister. We're just grateful, you know, for that sacrifice. He continues on in verse 7 of chapter 16 of the book of Romans. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my relatives, who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles and were in Christ before I was. Greet Amphilius, whom I love in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ. And my dear friend Stachys, greet Apelles, tested and proved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the house of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my relative. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. It was striking to me as I was reading this, Paul's favorite description of some of these women is that they work very hard in the Lord. And I thought, well, you know, this could be said of our church, right? This could be said. He could be writing this to us. We're just blessed here. We have a bunch of women that work very hard in the Lord and for the Lord. And, you know, you take those women away, and I believe really strongly our church now doesn't exist, right? It's not here. Because we need that in our church. Every church needs women like this that work very hard in the Lord. And this was striking to me in verse 13. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. And it was Paul's experience. And I don't think in the scriptures Paul ever mentions his own mother. I don't think he does. But here he mentions Rufus. And the mother of Rufus. And he says, I have to tell you, this mother of Rufus has been a mother to me. It's been a spiritual mother in a sense. And I thought, okay, here we go. This is a good path to go down. And in talking with Hazel Kronk, who isn't here today, but she fits this description well. She didn't have any of her own kids. But there's a young man she talks about, and I think he's around my age, from Ohio. And she absolutely is a spiritual mother to that kid. And I thought, oh, how cool. So don't miss that. Even if maybe, you know, I don't know if anyone here doesn't have kids of their own, but if that's you, you can still fulfill this role of being a spiritual mother to someone else. And I think of people, even in the church I grew up in addition to my own parents, who were wonderful. It wasn't like we made an agreement or something like, we're going to be your spiritual parents, but they were. They basically just took that responsibility upon themselves and said, I'm going to be here. And they never even said it in those terms. But essentially, I look back and I say, yeah, you know, I can still tell you, Brenda Fusick, in my home church. Chris Russell. I mean, these women were spiritual mothers to me. I mean, and I already had a good mother. But just one more example they were in my life of a godly mother. And such is the blessing of growing up in the church. And I think you've had that experience too, to where you're just like, wow, I mean, God not only blessed me personally with the great parents, but he gave me these spiritual parents in the church who just took me aside and showed me that kind of love. Showed me that kind of just sacrifice, service. But it's just what the church is about. It's just how God set it up. He just knew you're going to need a mother and a father. And if for some reason, you know, you're an orphan, or, you know, that didn't work out for you, or, you know, circumstances of life took that away, well, then I'll take the church. And when you find yourself in the church, then you'll find spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers there. Because you need it. You need it in your life. And it's not only that I need that spiritual mothership and spiritual fathership that other people provide. It's now I am old enough now to be that kind of person to somebody else. say, okay, now it's my turn. You know, people have done this for me when I was little. But now that I'm grown up, now it's my turn to be that spiritual mother or father or grandfather or grandmother to somebody else. And it's no less important, right? It's no less important. You know, you had your chance with your own kids, and if that's how it was, and then you get the chance again, spiritually, to be that for somebody else. See, I'm just preaching to the choir, though, because I think you guys already knew all that stuff. I think you guys already actually practice it, too. So can I just say thanks for carrying out that role. You know, thanks for being, you know, the kind of mother that somebody needs. Because I think we can all understand that lives were changed. You know, because you were a good mother. Lives were changed because you chose to be a servant. Lives were changed because it was needing to be done. And you stepped up there and said, I'm going to be the one to do it, right? And you don't retire from that. And your work as a mother certainly is never done. But God provides the strength so you can keep working.